I was so excited this week. I was working on the sermon and I was just so excited because it was about Barney. And I just couldn't wait, so I started singing, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you, won't you say you love me too? Wrong Barney, purple dinosaur sang, everything was great. We're talking about Barnabas in the Bible. I call him Barney for short just because he's a son of encouragement. I kind of identify with the dude because I love to lift people up. I love to tell you guys how wonderful you guys are. I love watching your face when I say, you look nice today. I love it when we build each other up. I love being in the hallways and hearing you guys build each other up. It is wonderful to encourage, to encourage. I asked my daughter, she was home last weekend, and she was, you know, doing what she does. She just kind of pins me down on the couch and lays there with me and gets this far away from my face and go, what are you working on, Mom? And I said, she's 32. You'd think she'd know better. So she's in my face and she said, what are you working on, Mom? And I said, encouragement. I said, what do you think of when you think of encouragement? And she said, active support. She's my kid. Active support. And then I looked it up in the dictionary because that's what I do. And it says the action of giving someone support, confidence, and hope. To give support, confidence, and hope. Isn't that what we need right now? After everything that is just going on, you are afraid to walk outside your door because you don't know if a tree's going to hit you or if the news is going to hit you. One or the other. It is nuts right now. And it is one of those times that we need to courageously build one another up, to be able to support one another. There's also a part in our scriptures that talk about exhortation, the power of comforting or urging done by someone close beside you. What we need to know about encouragement first is that there was a time, and it is in scripture, and we are so guilty of this, is that when we see somebody hurting, we tell them, you call me when you need me. I'm here to tell you, guess what? If I call you, I'm already done needing because I'm in control again. When you are not in control of your situation, when you are grieving, when you are just under so much debt, when you are doing all that, the last thing you're thinking about is calling somebody. So when someone says that to you, you call them. You find out how they're doing. You do not wait on them because you need to assess the situation. You need to know what they need. Do they need comforting? Do they need building up? What do they need at that time? And what I'm here to tell you is we cannot read people when they come in that door. You guys come in looking good. You guys come in smelling good. You guys come in confident. And on the inside, you could be just falling apart. Because I'm not going to ask. I'm going to see if you will encourage me. And we have to see that. What was said back in the day in Scripture was, be warm and be filled, and they would walk away. Isn't that just like sometimes when we say, praying for you? Hasn't got the teeth in it. I believe you guys pray I know you do. And I see the confidence and I see the results of those prayers. But people who do not know Jesus or who are so overwhelmed, they need your arms. They need your smile. They need your taking them Oreo cookies. They need you with teeth. They need you being the church. There's the image of being weighed down. Jordan, I know you're strong, but honey, I need you up here. I need you. I need you now. He's old enough to not want to have anything to do with this. Okay, I want you to pick this up. Okay, how long do you think you could carry that? Because tell him, it's heavy. It's heavy. It's especially heavy if you don't have both things on. So I'm going to have you put this on your back. I know. Now turn around and show everybody how cute this backpack is. It doesn't have anything to do with you. I went and bought the backpack. Can you tell? Okay. What happens when somebody is under stress? Under problems that they need encouragement for, this can keep weighing down. This can keep weighing down because it gets added to. It doesn't ever, hardly ever, does somebody come by and take something off. Have you noticed that? You get layered. So it gets heavy. Turn sideways. This is what we need to do as Christians. We need to walk alongside somebody and hold this up. He will never forgive me, but that's okay. You have got to stand by somebody. It says alongside them. Barnabas' name was Paraclesis. Paraclesis is son of encouragement. Guess what the Holy Spirit is called? Your paraclete. Your comforter, your guide. So, if I am alongside you, not behind you, not in front of you, I'm not cheering you on. Encouragement is not me going, "Surely you can do it. Come on, you can do it. I know you can. Don't worry about all that mulch. Don't worry about everything that you're mowing in your yard. You can do it." And she looks at me and goes, "Deb, it's going to be 105 this afternoon." We are not there to cheer each other up. When it says God is for us, who can be against us? That's not God just cheering us on. You know his name. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. He is beside you. The Holy Spirit is not only strengthening you on the inside, he is beside you holding up that stinking backpack of everything that is your life. Walking beside, holding you up. Encouragement is not compliments. I can tell you how great your shoes are. I can tell you how beautiful you look. You can tell me, guess what, you play that piano okay, but what if I hurt my hand next week? It is wonderful to get compliments, but that is not encouragement. Encouragement is sharing. It's not looking at you and saying, "You know what? I know you're going to have a rough week. Hope everything goes well. I'll be thinking about you." And then never make the call or never pray with them in person. Or just going and sitting. I don't want somebody to talk to me when I'm... Dan will tell you, when I get like this, the best thing to do is to not talk to me. But I want you to sit with me. I don't want to be alone. I'm an only child, and the only evidence of brother and sister love is you guys. Okay? That's what you are to everyone outside of this building. You are the light. You are the words. You are the presence. You are the hands and the feet. You are the one that says, instead of be warm, as you say it, you hand them a blanket. Be filled, you hand them food. When you're sad, I'm going to sit with you. As a family, people should know that we build each other up all the time. They should know that if they need encouragement, this is the spot. You should know, and you all online too, it's time to come back to church. It's time to come back and be in the building. It's time to come back and look each other in the eye and say, I support you. It is time for you to say, I need you to sit with me. It is time to be the church. It is time for us to put on our calendars things that we can do together as a church. I'm going to give you some right now. I want to encourage you. Next week, not this week, next week's VBS. Do you see me panicking? No. I'll do that this afternoon. But on the last day of VBS is we're inviting you, the church, to come and be with all the kids and be with all the parents and be with all the, to see what we do. VBS is you too. It's not just the kids. It's us. September 18th is rally day. Mark it down. Be here and be proud. It's the day that we come back. It's the day that we say, hey, I want to learn how to merge into this congregation. I want to know how to run the race. I want to know who my fellow people are that I can count on. I need to know. You're going to wear a name tag and you're going to wear it proud. And if you've been here for 99 years, you still wear a name tag because someone else is going to go, I don't know who you are. Do you know what we hear more than often? You online. When you see the congregation stand up, I had so many people tell me, we don't even know who those people are. Well, they're here. And guess what? You are loved. And you are this congregation. Just because someone doesn't know your face yet, they will. To encourage is to build up. Do you know what Barnabas did? Which I just think is amazing. Paul, as you know, was Saul. Road to Damascus, meets Jesus, turns into Saul. I did not know this. There was only 3 years from the time that he killed Stephen till the time Barnabas was defending this guy called Paul to the Jerusalem church. Can you even imagine 3 years ago hating someone so much and having him be brought before the church and said, guess what? He's one of us. That's what Barnabas did. Barnabas gave Paul's testimony to the people in Jerusalem to let them know that God is working through Paul. And that's when Paul said, hey, I need help, come with me. And if you notice throughout the missionary journeys, there's Barnabas right with Paul. Barnabas stood up for him. I want to know if you're going to stand up for the people in your pew. Are you going to stand up for the people in this church? Are you going to know their testimony and be able to give it before someone? Are you going to be able to do that? To build upon each other, one thing happens on top of the other, but what is in every building? Randy, what's at the bottom of the building? Foundation. And that foundation is laid by Jesus. And guess who's on the end lining everything up? It's all lined up to Jesus, the cornerstone. It is all lined up. So build. Build upon us. Build each other up. My teachers downstairs know that if I catch you grumbling in the halls, I will come get you. Because there is no place for that in this building. You get enough of that on Fridays. You get enough of that on Tuesdays. This is home, and this is a place to be built up. So we can go and be to people who wait for us to say with just angst in their hearts, yeah, I know you're going to say you're going to pray for me, but are you going to walk alongside me? Are you going to hold up my burden? Are you going to ease it? Are you going to be there for me? Or are you just going to say it and get out of the picture? We are not that. You are not that. You are the church. This is a meal that you really need to be inviting people to. Even if you say, Deb, I don't have the gift of hospitality, you still need to invite people to this meal. You need to invite them to be with you as you take part. As you look at the bread, as you look at the cup, and you think about Jesus. And then do you know what automatically comes out? Well, I know what automatically comes out at my table is that I would start telling you where I got this cup and which family member gave me the dishes that you were eating off of. And then I would tell you about the recipes that I might have mutilated during the dinner that came from people that I knew all over the country that have given me recipes. And then I would share with you who was responsible for all of it. And that would be Jesus. I have a life because of Jesus. You have a life abundant because of Jesus. Let's share in this meal. Because Jesus blessed the bread, and that's what people were to remember. He blessed it, and then he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat all of it. And then he blessed the cup, And you remember, blessing is when you say what its intended purpose is. And he said, this is my blood which is shed for you. Drink all of this in the new covenant. That's loving God and loving each other. That's that new covenant. So now, would you please take the bread and take the cup?